Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And those wiggling sounds in the background are my child rolling around on a bed. MC, listen. He's very happy. MC, I listen. It's the hellscape. We're living in a COVID world, and I'm a COVID girl. Madonna popped into my head when I said that. It didn't really matter. Anyway, everybody's using Zoom, right? Everybody's using Zoom. Suddenly Zoom is the hot shit and everybody's on it. But suddenly MC this morning is like, why can't I get into the room? There's a password and a waiting room and all this weird stuff. So, listen, we're not a news show. We don't share with you well-researched things, even about the things that we talk about. We share with you just vague feelings and things we heard once. And so I'm going to tell you a thing I heard once that I think is why Zoom is suddenly so much more secure. Apparently, there was a class of school children. I don't know what age they were, but let's say somewhere between kindergarten and third grade. And they were having a virtual online class. And they were in a Zoom meeting. And they didn't have it secured properly. And do you know who joined their classroom?
I'm guessing an old dude, probably, or some miscreant hacker trying to get up to no good.
It was a naked man, is what it was. It was a naked man that joined their room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So suddenly, Zoom is much more secure, and I think that that's probably why. Because Zoom had all these security features, but they were disabled by default, and I think Zoom went, ah, dip, we've got to turn those on. All of them. Just turn on all of the security. Which is smart.
Yeah. Except just... it confused me. I was like, hey, when did this happen?
It's just like, did you uninvite me from your house? What happened? It was like MC had the keys to my house, and then one day he came over and the keys didn't work, and he's like, wait.
Yeah, because normally how we record, because we've been doing this for over a year now, and we've been using Zoom pretty much from the beginning.
I think from like episode... Were we using episode one? I don't remember. Anyway, sorry.
No, I think it was after we did our test run, you found Zoom, and you were like, hey, we should use this. And I was like, all right. And all of a sudden, but pretty much, I think it was a few months after we discovered Zoom, you could actually set the room to stay as the same address. So right. I just joined the room before we start recording, and it's normally set up and ready to go. And today I was like, hey, I can't get in.
Why won't you let me in? It was like that one time in the Men in Black animated series at the end of season 3 when it seemed like maybe they weren't going to have a season 4 when they did a season finale that involved Jay getting fired for the Men in Black and they had to neuralize him and he lost all his memories. But then Kay ended up bumping into him while he was on a case. And so it was like, you're not part of Men in Black, but I still love you, sport. And so then they worked together again. Did you know that that happened? I read...
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Atticus, I should say. He's like, what, you're not going to give me credit? Me and Atticus read so much about the Men in Black cartoon. It's buck wild. So, I think we should get into it. I want to talk a little bit about background before we start talking about episode one. He's so vocal today. What are you talking about, Addy? He just learned to roll over. Here's your Atticus update for the episode. He's just figured out how to roll from back to front, and he's trying to do it right now, but he's laying on a bed. So it's just a little bit squishy, and he can't do it. And that's what's making him make so much noise. He's like, what the hell? I swear I could do this the other day. Do you want to move to your chair, dude? Moving him to his chair. BRB. Quick, MC, vamp for me.
So I really enjoyed Men in Black. I'm excited to find out some more facts that you have for us over the next couple of weeks as well.
Wait, MC, Vamp for me by telling the listeners who might not know what Men in Black is, what Men in Black is in general.
Oh, okay. So Men in Black is... originally, it was a movie about the Men in Black who cover up alien crashes, and they have a device that wipes memories, and they can make up stories as to why there wasn't aliens, and it's all your imagination and gas and other things that created the hallucination of aliens, but there's actually aliens, and they enforce the law around those aliens. How is that as a description?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. The movie centers around, of course, a new recruit into the organization, who's given the codename Jay, who's played by Will Smith in a fabulous mustache, in the movie. And then Kay is Tommy Lee Jones, who is his, like, supervisor slash, I don't know, like,
Kay, senior agent.
He is his everything. His partner.
Yeah.
Partner is the word I was looking for. And the show picks up where the movie left off with, like, the continuing adventures of Jay and Kay. Or did it? MC, do you remember what happens at the very end of the Men in Black movie?
You mean... Okay. Oh, no, I don't. not at all. I'm remember L.
I got both Men in Black and Men in Black 2 out of my storage boxes this week, because I was like, I'm going to watch Men in Black. And then I didn't watch either of them. So I wouldn't remember this either, except for I read it on the internet. Kay got neuralized at the end of the movie. He decided he was ready to retire.
Oh, yeah.
And so he got neuralized, and then it was like, there's like a gossip column thing that said, like, man, comes out of 30-year coma, and then Jay and L were going to be partners. I don't know what happens in Men in Black 2. Because Kay's back in Men in Black 2. I don't think I've ever seen Men in Black 2. I own it, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
Men in Black 2.
But yeah, in the show, they were just like, they're like, we want Jay and Kay, and the movie got rid of Kay, but, oh well.
In Men in Black 2, there's a creature coming to Earth to destroy the Earth, or to get something, to get power. And Kay's the only one who knows where the thing is. And he's actually hidden it by deneuralizing himself beforehand. So he's already deneuralized because he's no longer with the MIB. And they have to deneuralize him so that he can help them discover where this thing is. And yeah. So he comes back in that one.
MC, in Men in Black 2, is there a scene where Jay has to be, like, training Kay, because Kay is just relearning everything, and he puts Kay through the shooting test?
Yes.
Like Kay put... Is that really?
Cool. Not the shooting test.
Oh, damn it, MC. But... Damn it, MC. I was so excited. Now I'm sad.
No, it's not... There's, like, little thing... like, the Dune... deneuralization takes a while to come back. Mm-hmm. So, he has to, like, he has instincts and stuff, but, okay. He is still learning.
But it just doesn't remember. Okay.
Yeah. And he worked in a post office, which is... Listen, yeah, it's full of aliens.
Postal workers in this time of global crisis. However, the local post office to where I am currently, not where I normally live, but where I am in quarantine, the local post office here is the worst. I think that's all I want to talk about with background. Oh wait, there's one more detail I wanted to give you here. Next episode, I'm gonna sprinkle in the background like some fine Parmesan cheese. Is that funny? I love when my child laughs at my jokes. It's really validating, since you won't laugh at them, MC. Yeah?
You might get a smile, and you know you've tickled me, but if I don't laugh, I know. The audience doesn't know that that's happened. So there's plenty of times where you see me smile and you'll be like, you start giggling and I have to hold back my giggles so I don't let on that
you've I'm like giggling made a really like good joke. I make a dumb joke that I think is kind of funny, and then I see your like smile, like your exasperated smile, and that makes me laugh for real. But since they can't see that, they just think I'm crazy, MC. But that's okay, I'm fine with it. The last detail I want to give you today is, did you know that the movie was not the original medium for the Men in Black?
Oh, I didn't.
It's a comic. It was a three-issue comic run that then did an initial three-issue, or an additional three issues, and then did a couple of, like, one-shot stories, including, I think, a retelling of the movie in comic book form. And I read the first couple issues, and it's pretty good, like... Since there's only six issues in the like main storyline, I'm going to finish reading it eventually. I just didn't have time. But what's interesting is that at the beginning of the first issue, Jay is not a New York City cop. He is a DEA agent. And he's tracking a case of like some crazy drug that makes people like... It's called Berserk is what they call the drug. Because people just, like, go nuts and start ripping people's, like, guts out and stuff.
When alien semen.
Like, hey, fun times. There's no reference to aliens in the first issue. Not one. So, like, Jay recruits Kay and says, like, oh, you're going to see crazy shit. And look at my car. It's got a video screen in it. And I talk to somebody named Zed. And you think it's a robot, but it's really a person. It's got all this stuff in it, but no mention of aliens. And then issue two is... Okay, somewhere out in, like, bum F nowhere, Kansas or Ohio or something like that, there's somebody keeps saying aliens show up at their house. And you see, like, aliens come down to this farmer's house. The farmer's there with a shotgun. And you're like, oh, this is going to be the bug, right? And it's going to, like, take over. And there's the bug alien comes off the ship. And he's like, we require your projectile weapon. And you're like, oh, man. And he's like, you're going to have to pry from my cold, dead fingers. And so you're like, what's going to happen? And then the agents get there. And the farmer's like, fine. And his wife is fine. And I kept waiting for it to be like, I'm actually Vincent D'Onofrio pretending to be a bug in a human suit. But that doesn't happen. Instead, what happens is Jay goes out and he meets the aliens. And they're like, where is the farmer? And he's like, listen, man, he's not here right now. And they're like, but we require his projectile weapon when he dies. And he's like, wait, what? And they're like, listen, our planet's really overpopulated. So our queen sends us out to find nonsense in the galaxy. And if we fail at our scavenger hunt, we die. And we were tasked to find a projectile weapon. And this farmer agreed to give it to us. He said we could pry it from his cold, dead hand. So we're just coming back every night to see if he's dead yet. And he's like, that's kind of crazy. Do you just want my gun instead? And they're like, okay, cool. And they take his gun and leave. It probably wouldn't make a great movie, that storyline. But it was a wonderful comic book read. Especially because I kept expecting, like... the big bombastic action of the movie, and instead it's like, no, it's just a weird alien culture with a weird ritual that like humanity has stumbled into and has to deal with.
I'm not sure if you caught my me yelling what I yelled. Did you miss that?
I missed it.
Yeah, that's yeah.
That's the word. I'm so tired. Give him a break.
Yeah. So. I yelled alien semen when you were talking about the drugs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's not. Because in the comics, there's no reference.
No. I'm telling you, they don't have to reference it. Those drugs are alien semen. I'm telling you that now.
Why do you say that?
Well, why else would it mess everyone out?
I don't know. That's what was weird. The whole book... I'm telling you, I was sitting here reading the comic book waiting for the comic to go, and it was alien semen, and instead nothing happens. It's just some weird drug, and you're like, okay, like the Men in Black are here, it's gotta be aliens, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't. I reckon it was alien semen. Yeah, they just forgot to tell you at the end.
On that note.
Kay forgot to be like, can you believe all those people snorting, Gore Black's semen? Like, what's up with that?
I'm gonna make a shirt that says Gore Black semen. MC, remind me to make a shirt that says Gore Black semen. Yeah, that's funny, huh, kid? Yeah. On that note, let's go talk about some commercials right after the... We're gonna talk about the show right after these messages, which are the commercials.
My name's Tyler, and I host the podcast Too Young for This Hit, where I watch movies I've never seen before with guests who love them. So what kind of movies do we watch? We watch mostly like classics movies, you know, like
Escape from New York,
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure,
Alien,
Wayne's World, Party Time, Excellent,
Aliens,
Smokey and the Bandit,
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
In addition to talking about movies, we also talk about cats. A lot. For pretty much no reason. You can find Too Young for This Hit and tons of other great podcasts at probablywork.com.
And we're back.
We are back to talk about Men in Black Season 1, Episode 1, The Long Goodbye Syndrome. One more thing about the show as a whole is every episode is the blank syndrome, which is silly. It's silly. Like, they could have interspersed a whole bunch of like weird technical words, but no, it's always syndrome. Just like in The Incredibles, it's always syndrome. Because that's the name of the villain character.
Yeah, but it's not always syndrome, is it?
Well, like the whole movie, it's syndrome's the one behind everything. So it's like,
yeah,
it's
but
always
what syndrome. About in two?
Well, in two, it's not always syndrome, but in one, it's always syndrome.
No, well, right at the end of the original one, it's Mole Man.
Yeah, but so Long Goodbye Syndrome is an episode where Jay and Kay, Jay's still a pretty green rookie, and Kay's like, have you studied all of your homework that I gave you? And he's like, no, man, I haven't read it. I don't even understand anything. And he's like, all right, we're going to read some newspapers. Because the newspapers are, what do they call it? The hot rags. Well, is that what it is?
Yes. We're just going to skip over the cat?
Oh, God, the cat! The cat was so good! Okay, tell us about the cat. I didn't write notes about it in my regular notes.
So, Kay's like, oh, we gotta capture this alien. It's over there in a illegal chameleon suit or whatever. So
points,
Jay climbs up the tree and he
vaguely
thinks it's
at a park. Hang on, he points vaguely at a park area. Where there's, like, some people standing around going, like, oh, our cat Whiskers is stuck up a tree.
Yeah, so Jay climbs up the tree, thinking that it's the cat. And then the tree turns on him and turns into an alien and runs down the street. And then they have to neuralize a whole bunch of people. And Jay just gives the cat over to a fireman at some point.
Yeah, because the cat was the cat. Sometimes MC, a cat is just a cat.
I mean, it was in this scene.
MC, I've just watched Goldfinger, and so I really want to make a bunch of comments about a pussy being a pussy or something, but I don't want to, because that movie's really misogynistic, and I kind of hate it. Like, James Bond movies I like in general, but Goldfinger is actually, like, used to be one of the ones I thought was the best, and now I feel like it's aged really poorly.
It's not. It. And I'm actually, I've got like a list of ones that I want to watch. I'm going to watch Octopussy just because I know it's probably going to be really bad as well.
I think that one's actually less misogynistic than Goldfinger. Okay,
oh my
listen,
god.
This is not a Goldfinger podcast. If you want to hear our thoughts about that, go listen to Podcasters Assemble Season 3, where we're talking about... Wow. You have so much to say right now. Podcast Assemble Season 3. We're talking about all the James Bond movies. Goldfinger, an important plot point is that James Bond sexually assaults a lesbian so well that she falls in love with him and becomes a good guy. That's an important plot point in that movie. Like,
that's the crux
of the whole plot, is that he sexually assaults an evil lesbian and it makes her good and straight. Ugh! So Men in Black, they're reading the newspapers.
Yeah. Crabfishman or something. They discover it's in the hot rags or whatever they call it. So Kay's like, all right, we got a mission. Let's go down to the beach.
Jay's like, come on, let's this can't be see. Real. And it turns out that, yeah, there's like evil alien shellfish hanging out in the sewers under New York. Because of course there is.
Yeah. And then when they get down there, Kay throws him a gun, I guess. A device that is supposed to incapacitate this creature. Mm-hmm. But, do you remember what they're called?
Skrulls? They are called Skrulvians.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was very close to Skrull. I remember that because I'm like, that's weird. And, essentially, instead of using that, Jay pulls out his handy dandy noisy cricket.
Straight from the movie.
And, yep, kills the creature, which then follows him out and projectile vomits some mucus on him, which DNA locks his whole species into wanting to kill Jay.
Because it turns out they're a hive mind that, like, when one of them dies, the whole species then is determined to get revenge on whoever killed the one of them that died.
Yeah, and then Kay's like, let's head back to headquarters and Bob will have a plan.
I like there's an exchange where like Jay's like, oh no, what am I gonna do? And he's like, you? Nothing. Leave it to me. And Jay's like, well, what are you gonna do? And Kay's like, me? Nothing. I'm gonna leave it to the twins.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for. The twins are there to solve alien problems.
Yep, and essentially everyone's wishing Jay bad
guess.
Luck on getting marked, but and then as they're going through the place, there's an alien that's been stopped for in customs essentially for unmarked goods or something. I can't remember. They open it up. It's an exoskeleton. And the guy that they stop turns out to be a Skrullian and bursts out of this dude's skin and tries to attack Jay and gets frozen by Kay.
There's this action scene where Jay's running around trying to get away from the guy. There's a whole load of MIB agents who are trying to fight him. And Kay's just looking at a weapon rack, picking up each gun, going, no, 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 no. And then eventually he settles on the icer, which he shoots the Skrullian, and it freezes him in place, and he goes, yes.
Yeah. And then Jay's all dejected, and is like, you know, I was just kidding out there, right? And then gives him a freeze ray.
L, we should say, is another MIB agent. And she, in the show, or in the movie, rather, I think she was more or less a field agent. And in this one, she's like their Q, kind of. She's back in the lab. And when she finds out that Jay has a death sentence, the whole, like, episode, she's like, hey, Kay, well, you should make me your partner when this guy dies.
Yeah. So, in MIB, she was the morgue attendant.
Oh, yeah. And then she gets brought in at the very end. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I'd forgotten that. Good memory.
But yeah, she's like in the lab in this. And one of the things that I like in the show is they bring up characters that were in the movies. And they throw like random aliens in the background when they're traveling through headquarters of MIB. But the Worms and Frank are some of the best characters in MIB, like the animated show. Especially with how hyper the Worms are.
Later on into the show, I think he's actually in episode 3, is Jack Jeebs, the guy whose head explodes and regrows. And Tony Shalhoub comes back to voice him, at least in a couple episodes. So they actually got the voice actor, or the actor from the movie, to be the voice actor. And then he was like, I'm not doing this anymore, and Billy West took over. Which, if you're going to have somebody take over, Billy West is a good takeover. they go and see one of the aliens that lives in the robot suit. I don't remember why. I feel like that was just because they were like, remember this
guy
choking from the movie? Yeah, but was it relevant to this plot at all?
Yes, but not until later. They sort of got an alert that that there was something wrong with an ambassador or something. I can't remember what his actual title was. That whole planet seems to have a whole bunch of different princes and whatnot.
Yeah, every single one of them is an important title. And then there's a bunch of stuff, and Jay's surrounded, and oh no, he's gonna get eaten. And then Kay gets a phone call, and so, he's like, wait, are you sure? Isn't that what next? Did something happen in between?
They're in the park.
Oh yeah, there's this scene of him sitting on the park bench, just like in the movie.
Yeah. And he's like, is there anything that you want to do before you die, essentially? And he's like, yeah, I'm just going to go eat a hot dog with the lot. And he walks up and he orders it. And then, like, out of the hot dog cart and the guy running it, 15 Skrelvians just burst out of nowhere and start attacking Jay. And they start freezing them, and there's this big fight in the park.
Mm-hmm. And that's when then Kay gets a phone call and is like, if you say so. And he takes out, from his, he reaches into his coat. You're like, oh, what's he gonna pull, a big gun or something? And he pulls out a hanky. And he sneezes into it. And then he holds it up to the Skrelvians. And they're like, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I've just done the worst thing you can do to a Skrelvian. I've shown them my mucus. Gross.
Yep. And you forgot to talk about how the car blew up.
Yeah, the car does blow up. I wonder if that's something that's going to happen frequently on the show. It feels like it would be.
Yeah.
And then, like, Jay always wants to drive, and then the car's blown up, and Kay's like, they're going to kill me now instead of you. They've forgotten all about you because I showed them my mucus. But hey, kid, why don't you take the car out for a spin? And Jay's like, it's blown up, you a-hole. I can't take it out for a spin. It's blown up. And so
then Kay turns up.
Well, no, hang on. First, Kay gets taken by the aliens, and they dip him into their big molten lava pool, and he's like, it's supposed to be 2,000 degrees. I can hold my breath for a long time, you know? And I'm like, what the hell's going on? Are they going to kill Kay in the first episode of this cartoon? And listen, we've watched enough kids shows now that I'm like, they might kill Kay in the first episode of this cartoon. Like, kids shows are dark, it turns out. But no, he dies. And then he shows up again. And you're like, what? Kay's back? How is Kay back? Kay just died.
Yeah, turns out. And here's the reveal right at the end of the thing. Kay's face pops open, and the little guy from earlier whose life he saved comes flying out with a jetpack.
That's right. That's why it was relevant. Because they had to give us Chekhov's weird little face aliens in a robot bodysuit.
Yep.
And then Kay takes the keys back. Yeah, that's right. He's like, that was a fake you. When did that happen? When did you switch? And he's like, don't worry about it. And then that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. That's pretty much everything that happened.
And they drive off into the sunset, except for they don't drive off because their car's broken. So do they just walk away?
Then we get a cool outro music.
Yeah. Oh, man, we didn't talk about the theme song. It's hard to talk about the theme song because it's just like weird X-Files-ish music. Like...
But with a, like, almost hip-hop bass line, it's really good.
I'm going to drop a little bit of it in under where we're talking right now, because that way it's fair use, because we're commenting on it, so you all can jam out to it a little bit as we discuss it here. But my favorite part of it is that there's a lineup of aliens, and they're, like, standing forward, and then on the beat they turn and stand right, and then on the beat they turn and stand left, and then one of them does, like, a wacky little dance for a second, and he's the thing I remember most about this show from when I was a kid.
Because you always watch the outro.
He's in the intro.
Good.
Maybe he's in the outro, like, too. The music... I was thinking of the intro.
Yeah. Like,
I'm playing... Listen, the music you were hearing before...
Both.
MC, the music they were hearing before was the intro music. Now they're hearing the outro music, and you hear it's a little softer, a little more subdued. Well, yeah.
In the outro, I think it's just mugshots of aliens.
Yeah, I think so.
That go by. I don't remember anything really about the aliens, except for there's one without arms, and there's an MIB guy, like, white shirt, holding the guy's numbers up in front of him.
Oh, because he doesn't have arms to hold his little number.
Yeah.
MC, it's time for us to talk about the best and the worst. With the worst first. We don't have a jingle for this section, but I think they just made it. It's time to talk about the best and the worst with the worst first. There's the jingle. Can I tell you my worst thing?
Yeah.
So my worst thing is my worst thing is that this show goes way overboard. This is a complicated thing. So let me. Oh no! My worst thing is that my baby just spit up while I was talking. Oh, where's the burp rag? It's on my shoulder. Oh, it's all over your jammies. Oh no, it was actually not very much. It just happened to he caught it with his foot. Good job, little man. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah? My worst thing is that this movie borrows so much from the movie. It feels like it tries to jam in every single thing that happened in the movie into this episode. Except for Jay's mustache. I love Will Smith's mustache in the movie, and this show's like, what if Jay, but no mustache? And that's my worst thing.
Does he get a mustache later?
I don't think so. I think throughout the show, he's mustacheless.
Oh, that's weird. I totally didn't even think about that. I think the worst thing is kind of how Elle gets treated. Like, they keep, like, trying to shove her back into the science lab.
Yeah. It would be cool if she was a field agent. Optically, it's a little... I mean, well, she was a morgue technician, so I guess, like, it makes some sense that she would be involved with the sciences, but let her out in the field. Let her out to play. What's your best thing?
Definitely, just, like, Kay's attitude. Mm-hmm. Like, just how he's no-nonsense, like, hard-ass, like, Kay. Like, you get a very... It's not Tommy Lee Jones doing the voice or anything, but you still get that same sort of sense from Kay as Tommy Lee Jones's Kay.
I agree. Kay is also my best thing, and specifically, the best thing for me was that very last bit where Jay's like, but when did you switch bodies? And he just goes, minutia. Like, he's like, I don't have to explain myself to you. Buzz off.
Yeah.
That was my best thing.
It's great. I really like Kay.
I think that's all I've got for episode one. Which means we'll wrap this up and we'll be back next time to talk about episode two of the Men in Black, the series is officially the name of it. And episode two is called The Buzzard Syndrome. So if you want to watch along, go find that online somewhere. And until then, MC, don't change the channel.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All of that's basesfcast. The email's at basesfcast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page. So you can go to facebook.com/basesfcast, and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says join group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are. If you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search BaseSFcast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes, but on YouTube. I was going to say, but in video format, but it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos. Anyway, search BaseSFcast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh, yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and it's a button. It's just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching. And we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep.
Probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it. It's kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean.